It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the 1871 podcast, and our special guest for this episode is a returning guest, was a guest with us on Series 1. It's former Reading defender Andy Bernal. So Andy, thanks very much for joining us. Early morning in Australia, late night here in England, but thanks ever so much for getting up early to join us on the podcast.
No, thank you guys for having me back on again. It's living my best life here on the central coast of Australia these days, and following what's happening in back in England, and especially with Reading FC. But it's always a pleasure, being on this podcast with yourself and Johnny. Brings back nice times for me, spent playing for a wonderful football club.
Yeah, and unfortunately, probably no Dylan tonight. He said he's going to try and make it, but he's kind of he's stuck out in the middle of nowhere, I think, with no internet access, preparing for a big game tomorrow night. So we're recording this on late at night on Tuesday morning because it's 7 a.m. in Australia where Andy is. So it's very late at night in South Africa. But before we speak to Andy, just a heads up for you that we've got yet another former Reading player confirmed as a guest coming up over the next few days. So here's our guest coming up as follows. So tomorrow, available anytime after 6 o'clock, it's Reading women's defender Lily Woodham. And then on Friday evening, former Reading defender Linvoy Primus. And then on Saturday evening, it's former Reading midfielder John Halls. So that one's just been confirmed. And they're all available anytime after 6 o'clock. And all of the episodes are still there on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So if you want to go back and look at any previous episodes, you can. We've recently put out our previous episode with Andy. So that's available now, talking about David Beckham and all sorts of things on that. And Andy talks about his book. So we'll be covering a little bit of that stuff, but we'll try and bring it right up to date with what Andy's doing now. And of course, in terms of episodes coming up, as soon as the new manager is announced, we'll jump on that and bring you an episode talking about our reaction to the new manager. We don't know when that's going to be, but we think it's imminent. And there's been some sort of an announcement that Reading fans who buy season tickets can speak to the manager on June the 2nd. So we think that might mean they might even know who it is already. And at the time of recording this episode, so it's Tuesday, late night on Tuesday at the moment. So at the time of recording, Chris Wilder is still the favourite to become Reading's new manager, although he's also being linked with the Hearts job. Former Portsmouth manager Danny Cowley is currently second favourite. And one of the other managers in the running, apparently, is Notts County manager Luke Williams. But perhaps we should take all of that with a pinch of salt, as Luke Williams is also apparently being linked with the England manager's job. Really, I don't know how these odds work, but that's what I saw earlier. He's 10-1 to become the new England manager, apparently. I can't believe that somehow, but stranger things have happened. So in other news, I'm told by Dylan Kerr, who knows Phil Parkinson very well, and I said, is this for real? And he said, yeah, this is for real. So Dylan tells me that former Reading captain Phil Parkinson has received a handwritten letter of congratulations from King Charles for winning the National League title with Wrexham. I asked Dylan, is that for real? He said, yes, that's for real. So I don't know, maybe he's going to like say, oh, it was a wind up afterwards, but I think it's true. So anyway, congratulations to Phil again. And we're hoping to get Phil on as a guest as well very soon. And talking of Dylan Kerr, his Marumo Gallants side have their CAF Confederation Cup semi-final second leg tonight. So that's Wednesday evening. That's 5 o'clock kickoff UK time. So by the time you listen to this, that game might have already finished. So they're 2-0 down from the first leg away. But they have won all six of their home games in the CAF Confederation Cup this season so far. So we wish Dylan good luck for that. And he might need a bit of good luck as his players went on strike on Tuesday afternoon. And that was apparently in protest that the bonuses aren't good enough for reaching the final or something like that. So Dylan's got his work cut out there, but they've won all their games at home. So fingers crossed for Dylan. So come to you now, Andy. You were part of that amazing Reading team under Mark McGee and Colin Lee that went on to reach the 1995 playoff final, of course. And Andy got a message for you from Dylan. He sends his regards. He says he's bought your book. Doesn't say if he's read it or not. He says he's bought it. And he wants me to ask you, this is from Dylan, so don't shoot the messenger. He wants me to ask you if you're still as tight as you used to be. And you are very welcome to send a message back in return if you'd like to.
Is he still as not funny as he used to be? Not funny?
Yeah. Yes. Well, he's still.
He thinks he is. He thinks he
still
is.
Still cracking jokes, yeah.
Yeah, the joke. He's a good lad, and he just a wonderful character, and again, very fortunate for me to know Dylan and to be one of the first guys that I met when I arrived in Reading, and he was certainly one of the guys that helped me fit into the whole town, city, whatever you want to call it, and the club. Wonderful guy. Yeah, he is. He does try and be funny all the time. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. How that's working with his managerial career, who knows? Only time will tell. But yeah, let him take the piss. He can say whatever he wants.
Yeah, it would have been worse if he was actually on the episode, I'm sure. But
he's sent him.
He's hiding.
Tell him to keep trying.
Yeah, I will.
To be the main man, to be funny.
Yeah, so Andy, one of the things we'd like to talk to you about is your current role. You're head of athletic development and vibe manager with Central Coast Mariners in Australia. So can you tell us a bit about what your role entails and what a vibe manager is?
So for those listeners from the UK that probably maybe not aware of the A-League here in Australia, that's the top league here in the country, and probably very similar to Major League Soccer in the United States. That's probably the equivalent. A friend of mine, Richard Peel, came in last year and purchased the Mariners, and I came in with him and met Nick Montgomery and quickly became one of his lieutenants. And my role as head of athletic development is to sit in between Nick and the strength conditioning department and deliver a lot of the fitness and strength programs to our athletes. You know, it's a wonderful club. It's a club that we finished second this year in the league, with the youngest team playing in the A-League, with the lowest budget of any club in the country. We are the number one team in Asia to play under 23 players, qualified for the Champions League, which is a massive thing for this club. And I'm just very blessed to be able to work with as one of Nick Montgomery's lieutenants. You know, I was talking to Mark earlier before, and I've been around great managers, and some are friends of mine, some I've worked under. Brian Clough signed me for Nottingham Forest initially. You know, I've been around the Mark McGee's, the Alan Pardew's, the Brendan Rodgers, Del Bosque at Real Madrid. I'm friends with Julian Lopetegui, the Wolves manager. You know, I've played in teams where Ferguson has been the manager, et cetera, et cetera. So Nick Montgomery is has a wonderful CV as a player, but as a manager and a man, he's of the highest ilk. You know, he will grace the EPL, La Liga, Serie A one day. And for any chairman, for any owner out there, I'm talking about a man and manager of the highest order. So I'm very blessed to wake up every day and go in. Besides the athletic development, which is really, you know, a focus on producing world-class athletes, you know, stroke footballers, he made me vibe manager, and thought of it, he was joking at first, and apparently it's the first vibe manager in global football. But I looked it up one afternoon when I came home, and my wife said, actually, the vibe thing's it's a thing. And Google and Microsoft and, you know, the Hard Rock Hotel chain around the world employ vibe managers. And however you want to, you know, or whatever you want to make of that, or whatever it is, it's just creating an environment and an ambience and a culture where young men or young women can come into a football club in the morning with a smile on their face and happy to be at training and work hard and leave the place, and then making sure that the dressing room environment is a beautiful thing, because as we all know in football, you know, you just need one or two or three, you know, people that don't fit in for whatever reason, and it spreads like cancer, and then creates an environment and culture that doesn't lead to success in football. And you know, the feeling and the environment and atmosphere that we have now here at the Central Coast Mariners is very, very, very similar to what I encountered in that first season of mine at Reading. And it's almost indescribable. It's hard to put into words, but it's just a vibe and a feeling that you get. And you know, I mentioned that in my book, you know, under McGee and Colin Lee and Mick Hickman that first season, and then later on Jimmy and Mick, it's almost like you felt invincible, you know, and when you lost a game or drew a game, and there was no issues, you know, it was, you know, let's get back to the training ground, let's, you know, look forward to the following weekend, because we knew that we would turn it around. And it's a pretty special, amazing feeling, and doesn't happen a lot in football. So when you get a coaching unit or staff that can produce that, well, you know, you better run with it.
Yeah. And Andy, you could actually be one part of Reading versus Reading in the grand final, because you could face Sydney FC and former Reading striker Adam Lafondre in the A-League grand final. So both teams have got to the semi-final, and you've got your second legs coming up this weekend. So Sydney are 1-1 from the first leg against Melbourne City, thanks to an Adam Lafondre penalty. And Central Coast Mariners, you're 2-1 ahead from the first leg against Adelaide United. So the two semi-finals are evenly poised. So what do you reckon of a Bernal versus Lafondre final?
I think it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing for Reading fans. Look, it'd be amazing for Australian football as well to have that link. You know, the last time we played them was away at Allianz Stadium, and I think Adam might have scored the winner on that day. So they've had the better of us over, I think, this season. The games are 2-1 to them. But again, we fear nobody. I think with our best 11 on the pitch, we can beat anybody. The first hurdle is getting past Adelaide. But look, it's always nice to you know, whether it's your team or whether you're looking at the opposition and there's someone that's played for a former club, and in this case with Adam Redding, it's just, I suppose it's a nice little addition to match the match day fixture. So, you know, I'd rather be playing against him than actually, you know, having to watch from the sidelines or in the stand or doing what I do. You know, he's certainly a fantastic player. I know he was a great servant for Reading, but certainly from my point of view, would look to eliminate him on any particular match that I, you know, come up against him or our team comes up against him.
Yeah. Johnny, going to hand over to you now.
Yeah, no, I was saying that I love the O-League, Adam. Andy, I was there for years, back in 2005 when it first started. I've been watching for years. I lived there. And the Central Coast Mariners, the two sauce bottles on the pitch.
That's it.
the famous view, wasn't it? But like, the Mariners have been through a lot of changes over the years, haven't they? And when we talked to you last year, you were in a process of change again. And what you've done this season has been amazing, isn't it, to get where you are now. How do you go? You got Adelaide away, Craig Goodwin, past player. How do you go out of that game and go, right, how do you set the players up? We're away, this is our moment and mindset. Well, I know you can't give too much away on this call, but
no, but that's it's nice. It's nice what you say about the Mariners. It's a wonderful part of the world. It's a wonderful part of Australia, just, you know, north of Sydney and south of Newcastle on the coast here. Our stadium, for those that haven't seen it, should Google it, because it's one of the most beautiful, iconic stadiums on the planet. Just amazing. We've amassed a young playing squad, and we give them wings. We empower them. We give them opportunity. We want them to become, you know, Olympic players that go to the Olympic Games for Australia. We want them to become Socceroos, which is, you know, players for the national team. We're a selling club. So young men that come here know that they'll be given an opportunity and we can help them, you know, live their dreams of playing in Europe or for one of the big clubs of wherever. You know, this weekend we treat it as another game. We went to Adelaide a few weeks ago and beat them to qualify second above them for the Asian Champions League. We then went last week and leading 2-1 after that match in a two-legged semi-final. So for us, nothing changes. We bring the lads in and training is exactly the same as every other week. You try and keep them as calm as possible. But we continue with the same processes and the same planification that we have done from day one. I've been around the world. I've, as you guys know, and I was the first Australian to play in Spain, and I've seen a lot of wonderful football and trainers and coaching sessions and head coaches when I was around Madrid with Beckham and Ronaldo, Nazario and Zidane. And you know, it's the modern game, the modern day football requires a very special type of manager and coach and assistants that bring different dynamics to the table, that bring a different kind of madness to the table, you know, and if you can find a manager that can put a team like that together and make it all gel together, then you have a very special unit that can then go and educate, mentor and empower young men to go and believe and actually put in place a wonderful football. And that's what we do at the Mariners. You know, we fear nobody. You know, we our coaching unit headed by Nick it would be no different whether it's the Mariners or whether it was Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I know if Nick went in to Real Madrid tomorrow with the team he has, it would be business as usual, and players would adapt and he would bring success to that club, which doesn't mean, you know, obviously it's the number one over many, 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 many years. But for most clubs that are looking for success, for most clubs that are looking, you know, to bring beautiful times to their city, to their town, you know, I know I'm going in a bat for Nick again, but wonderful. You know, I'm blessed to be around him. And again, there's also something about, besides the football, the character of coaching staff, the character of men themselves and a man himself. And we, you know, we have a no dickheads policy, you know, that, but you know, you can be a fantastic player, but if you don't fit in and you're a dickhead, you're out the door. You know, Andy's job is to grab you by the collar and put you out on Bryant Drive and see you later.
Is that easy to notice, Andy, from when you see these young lads that come through? Obviously, you know, Australian football is very different to the English football, as in, you know, the pubs in England, you've got how many hundreds of clubs. Non-league, Australia's obviously a very different world, but like, you know, the recruitment policy for getting players into the Post Mariners, how far do you look? Do you look overseas? Do you look personality? You know, we've talked about on here about, I'm sure you're aware, like, you know, Steve Coppell, and people look at, you know, the people's backgrounds. How much work goes into that for you, for the Mariners, to go, right, this is the right one, or no, we're not touching him. He's not
good. Well, great question, and very important. You know, we had a couple of guys out here that started the season as part of our kind of marquee brigade, and they didn't fit in. You know, they came from Portugal. I think one of them was a Nigerian international at under-23s level, and for whatever reason, you know, that they were decent footballers, but didn't fit into the culture of the dressing room. And we quickly, you know, got rid of them. And since they left, it's created a whole new atmosphere within the dressing room. So we do character checks, we do football checks. And you know, from Nick, you know, who's, he was at Sheffield United for many, many, many years and his career. We have his assistant, Serge Raimundo, was one of the heads of the Benfica Academy for many years. My connections in Spain, from Lopetegui to Del Bosque to Luis Enrique. So there's not really a part of the world that we can't connect with or make a phone call to, where we can check up on players. And it's very important, you know, because in this league, when you only get the opportunity to, you only have the opportunity to bring in three, four marquee players, and they're the ones that usually get the most money. So you've got to be really spot on with those signings. So for example, Lafondra at Sydney, you know, they would have done their homework. They would have said, you know, whatever, and looked at everything that needs to be looked at before they signed Adam. And I think he's been a wonderful signing for them.
Yeah.
And that's what we try and do. Us even more so, because we don't have the budget that Sydney FC have, that Western Sydney Wanderers have, that Melbourne Victory have, that Melbourne City, who are owned by the City Group, have. So we need to be pretty precise with it. And I think we are. But
It's worked, isn't it? It's been proof's in the pudding, isn't it? As they say, like, you know, where you are now, it's like, that's brilliant.
And Andy, just carrying on from that, I'm sure there's going to be at least a few Reading fans that are listening to this thinking, you know, I wish Reading was like that. Bringing it up to Reading, you know, bring it on to Reading's situation. What do you make of what's happened with Reading over the last few seasons, really, and in particular this season with relegation to League One? Have you been keeping an eye on that? And if so, what's your feeling from that side of the world as to, you know, what's gone wrong, really?
I've been keeping an eye on it, and it's, look, it always saddens you to see your club, you know, go down a division. And what are they now? Is it called League One or League
Two?
Yeah,
League One.
So the problem is it's not that easy to get out of. And I don't know the financial situation of the club right now. I hear it's not great in terms of how much they can strengthen the side, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, now is a really important time for Reading Football Club in terms of who they select as a manager. That over the next 2, 3, 4 years can be really crucial in terms of does the club begin to go up and get promotion and return to, you know, to prosperity of sorts, or does it sink further? A real important time, how do you select, you know, the manager? What type of manager do you want? Do you want a real big name that is maybe a little bit more old school? Do you bring in a young progressive manager that can work with younger players, that can work with lesser budgets? There's some very good, young, intelligent, clever managers, coming through now. So their choices that Reading will have to make, I don't know who makes them. I don't know who still exists on the board, at director of football level. It was a lot easier when Sir John was in charge. He listened to one or two people, that knew football below him, and everything else was kind of an easy process. I don't know how it works at Reading these days, but what I can say is it's a delicate time for the club, a delicate and crucial time for the club. And the last thing you want to do is start League One and then it's not great. And you've brought in a manager and then you've got to replace him. I wish it wasn't like it is now, but all I can say to Reading players, fans and the club, it's a time, to get behind the club. It's a time to be resilient. It's a time to visualize, returning to the bigger leagues. My life, at times, after football and with Beckham, for those that don't know, were some dark times. And it's a story of resilience. I probably shouldn't be here. I should be dead, but I'm not. So, there's one example. That's just on an individual level. But Reading can get back to the fantastic times and filling that stadium into premiership one day. It's just about how long that will take, and that will be dependent on the one or two men that they choose to be the generals that return that club to where it should be.
And obviously, Reading fans will want to see Reading go straight back up, get into the playoffs, all that sort of thing. But in your mind, considering Reading's position, just getting relegated back to the third tier for the first time in, 21 years, what do you think the most crucial thing is to get the right foundations in place to move on from in the near future, rather than kind of the focus being all about getting promotion straight away? Is that more important, do you think?
I think it all works together, what we would do here is, we'd start through our academy and look at all the boys, young men that might be 18, 19, 20 that can play in our first team, that we believe we could, put straight into the first 11, and that they could do a job for us, under the right guidance. That's what you have academies for. That's why you need to have them, and you need to produce good quality players that are also world-class athletes, because it saves you money as well. It saves you money. You can't go, and sometimes I'm not sure what Reading's, they got part of the relegation was due to losing points for financial irregularities. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spending too much money.
You might have to, Yeah, you might have to change the whole thinking and say, you know what, we don't have 1 million, we don't have 100 million, we don't have 300 million, but we have 40 or 50 young men, you know, from first 11 through to the under 18. We have 50 young men at this club that need to take us back up a division and then up another division. How do we do it? How do we empower them? How do we educate them? How do we mentor them? How do we, give them seconds and give them wings and empower them to get this? Because it's just easy. It's too easy to bring in a manager and give him a bag full of money and go and do this. And then what if that doesn't work?
Well, it hasn't.
It definitely hasn't.
What's happened? Yeah.
Time and time again, really, isn't it? That's what
and then you're in more shit, you know, and it doesn't seem like there's any, it doesn't seem like there's any greater plan in place, you know, a club philosophy, a club, whether you want to call it that or not. It just doesn't seem to be any anything in place. And you know, what I've spoken to on many occasions with Nick and Serge here is a lot of times people in football, are looking for, you know, for ideas, for a landscape that they can maybe model themselves on, a process. And you know, I always revert back to, Real Madrid. You know, 14 Champions Leagues and major success, the club of the last century. And you know, there's something about that club. There's something about the academy, the philosophy of the whole club, the culture within it. And they must be doing something right. And the amount of times in football that I mention that to coaches or to people, and then they go and do the opposite or seem to be doing the opposite, just, it astounds me, because wouldn't you want to follow the leading light on the planet? Something in place that makes sense.
Well, not so long ago, under Sir John Medeski, Reading were an example of exactly that, and now it's Brighton and it's Brentford. But Andy, just want to take you back to your time at Reading, and you went through the same, experience that the Reading players that have been through this season. You experienced relegation to the third tier with Reading in 1998. So having gone so close to, you finished second in 1995, any other season would have gone up to the Premier League automatically. So what was it like to have that, fantastic season, get close to going up to the Premier League, and then 3 years later you're getting relegated to the third tier? What's that like for a player? And how do you kind of think to yourself, we're going to bounce back from this? What's the thought process when you go through something like that?
Well, it's very devastating, to yourself as an individual, but what it means to the fans, to the people that go and support you every week. So it's not a particularly nice feeling or time in your life, brings a little darkness to everybody's lives, I believe, and it's very hard to get out of it. But like I said before, it's all about it's the management team above the players that lead the way, that are the generals that provide the light, that provide the inspiration, and if you don't have it, and we're at Reading for 3-4 years, where there didn't seem to be, managers came and managers left, but there was no real platform, of what was going to happen. I think the ship was steadied a little bit. Pardew came in, and then Brian McDermott, and Brian's a wonderful, wonderful manager, wonderful guy. So I don't know much of the other managers that came in after Brian, but sometimes you can get into a little merry-go-round that I feel has been, the case with Reading at the moment, where you just kind of bring in two or three managers for the sake of it, for a bit of immediate inspiration, immediate hardness, immediate kind of pump up, for want of a better phrase or word. but it doesn't work because there's no platform, there's no foundation, there's no, there's the management team going, what's the under 18? There's an under 18 kid ever been plucked out and put straight into the first team on a weekend? I don't know if those things happen, but they're things that that are very empowering to your academy. They're very empowering to the club, to the fans. You know, it's a very special thing when a 16, 17-year-old kid gets put on the bench. You know, has that happened lately? You need to find inspiration and beauty and empowerment in many different ways. You know, and that isn't always just going and buying two or three players that you believe are good players that are going to, you know, take you immediately back up. You know, it needs to be a whole group, a whole vision, within that playing group, within that management group. And like you said, you know, you asked me the question, I feel for 2-3 years there was, a few managers, came and went at Reading, and, there was a few different players come in and out, but it was never as it was the first season that I was there. And that was never replicated. That was never attained again. Sad in a way. But it was also because there was a very special group of players as well. You know, there was no one on real big money. There was no one had gone any moves yet. You know, people were then subsequently, going to be transferred, because of the success that we attained. But it was just, 14, 15 young men that were mates that enjoyed football on weekends, that enjoyed playing entertaining football for Reading fans, and that knew a whole town were behind them. It's a very empowering feeling, and I don't think Reading in later years, the Premiership days and then some of the Championship days have kind of had a few of those occasions, but it seems that the last few years has, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. If I was there, you can kind of work out. I've heard little rumours here and there from a lot of people, but I don't know if it starts from above, the ownership, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know any of those people. So for me to comment, this wouldn't be fair.
Hmm. Johnny, do you want to come back in?
Yeah, on ownership, Andy, that's a perfect point to go on to. Like, the ownership at your club now, how does that work for you? Because at Reading, we had Ryan Teverton, who was a director of football 5-6 years ago, and he left because of issues with other people. And since then, we've basically gone downhill big time. How is your, is it a CEO over there for you? Or?
Oh, look, we have, this client is really, Mike Charlesworth still owns, I think, 51% of the club. He's based in Leeds in England, and Mike is an Englishman that kept the team afloat, for the past 8, 9, 10 years. And then we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mike. Then Richard came in and acquired part of the club, and Richard Peel is a good friend of mine. He brought the Anytime Fitness brand into Australia.
Yeah.
He's big on fitness. He's big on creating great athletes. He's real big on platforms, on mindset and culture within organisations. He has come in and helped Monty, myself, Serge, everybody from the strength conditioning side of it. There hasn't been any money, spared in terms of acquiring the best systems to read data of players on the pitch, on training pitches. He's brought psychologists in. He's brought recovery systems in from the United States. But he doesn't meddle in Nick's work. Nick's the boss. He's the head coach / manager, as Ferguson was, as Puppy was. They make all the decisions, all the playing decisions. They have no, the ownership have no role in Neither does the CEO in terms of what players come in, what players don't come in.
You trust the guys to do the job that you're paid
for. They don't get involved. If Monty says, I want this player, I want that player, I want this done for the academy, their job is to do it, and they do it. You know, yeah. So it's a very easy process. And one that works, and there's no meddling from above. You know, a few bosses that know what they're doing, that are not mediocre in what they do, they're professionals in whatever they do, and everybody knows their place. Yeah. Everybody knows their place, and it's kind of simple when you know how.
It does sound so simple compared to the mess that Reading have been in over the last years, because it's been a disaster from, you know, throwing money out. It doesn't work, does it? You know, Reading have proved that time after time. You know, we've been over budget and points deduction. But when, you know, it, compared to, you know, obviously the Championship, the A-League, which, you know, you said about, you know, obviously you can't compete with Sydney's budget and other bigger clubs to a point. How do you work that? Do you have to go through a process of getting things approved by the A-League senior people when you sign players, or a budget for a season, like with the NRL, is it, you know, the salary cap and things like that? Has it worked the same way?
Well, I don't think they police the salary cap as the NRL do, but you know, for example, all I can say to you is we, you know, we finished second in this league on a budget of $2-3 million, and there's teams like, you know, there's four or five other teams above us that are spending $20-30 million a year.
Wow.
So I'm talking four, five, six times more than us. But do they play young people? Do they play five, six players that are under 23 years of age? Probably not, you know, but that's on them. You know, I just believe young men, you know, at times in this country for many years, haven't been given the opportunity. We've had a lot of turnover and a recycling of older players, of older players that have, you know, and marquees that have come back here that are on their last legs and just nicking a payday, you know. No one gets a payday at our club. You know, the greatest thing is for us, I believe, is Nick and myself and Serge have been around the highest, most elite level of football. So when we put training sessions in place, when we set standards and goals, you know, you can't trick a trickster. We know what's required, you know, of the English Premiership because Nick's played in it. You know, we know what's required in Spain. We know what's required around because we've all played. We have experience in those levels. So, you know, you need to be able to fit in, you know, with our training and with our schedules and how we work. And, for example, you know, you might get a couple of older marquees that have played in top European football, but they wouldn't fit into our side because, you know, we require warriors, we require world-class athletes and, you know, we gauge our running data and stats, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we're not measuring ourselves against other A-League clubs. You know, I measure what our athletes do against the top clubs in Europe.
Yeah. Just before I pass back to Mark, is that, like we've talked about a jigsaw, Andy, where, you know, is that how it is for you? You get the right fit, the right places and the team and that process. How important is that for a club? It's not about money, is it? It's about the mentality and the people that you need.
It's got nothing to do with money. You can bring me a $10 million player and I'll get you a kid from our academy that's going to outwork him.
Yeah.
It's going to out-whatever him, out-think him. You know, and it's about educating these young men, you know. But again, when we put everybody together, everybody's got to buy into it. When we put it together, you know, if you don't, as wonderful and beautiful as we can be, if you're a young kid coming through our academy, if you're a player that we bring from overseas, if you're a player that's, you know, a 5-6 year veteran of the A-League, if you can't adapt to what we want, if you can't achieve the numbers or attain the numbers that we require from you on the pitch, then you won't play for us. It's also ruthless in terms of elimination of the week.
Standards,
but,
isn't it?
But well, yeah, standards. And yeah, the most important thing with standards, I'll tell you this now, and since I've met Nick, and you know, we have certain standards at the club and a culture at the club, and you know, it's people always talk about you know, standards and culture, but you can never attain standards and culture if, in the first place, you don't have good people. You know, so from ownership through to the under 10s academy coach, we have good people, and from all walks of life, you know, and people that have seen good days and bad days, but you know, overall, in general, when all is said and done, you sit down with people and you work out, that's a good man, that's a good soul, you know, he needs to be at this club, and then that is passed on down, and it's a reflection of the whole club, and then, you know, then you start getting results, and then you have, you know, and you create a club where, not only at our club, but we have agents of the best under 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids in this country calling us saying, can we bring our boy to you? Because he's not getting an opportunity at Melbourne City or Melbourne Victory or whatever. Can we bring him to you? Because he needs to play, and he'll become a Socceroo, and he could play in England, and he could become a Viduka, a Kewell, et cetera, et cetera. So, and that's a beautiful thing when people want to come to you.
Yeah, definitely.
And don't even talk about money. I need to go and play for you. Ambition and everything else. Exactly. You know, it's you know, and we played in a time where, you know, we played 10 years further on. You know, we would have earned 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. You know what I did, what others in the team that I played with did. But I look back upon it now, and some of us need to be pioneers, you know, and that's how it is.
Mm. Andy, I've got one last question for you. Then I'll bring Johnny back in for see if he's got one final question for you. You mentioned Brian Clough earlier, and of course, it's very well known that part of the reason for Brian Clough's success was Peter Taylor, and at your time at Reading, you had Mark McGee, but you also had Colin Lee. And you talked about everyone being on the same page. And at that time at Reading, I think that's what worked really well, didn't it? Because you had Colin Lee was giving you the instructions, and Mark McGee was kind of, in a way, the motivator. What do you feel those two did to bring the best out of the individual players and that team that you played in at Reading at that time?
Well, I think you're missing a really important name there. Mick Hickman, who was probably the third in that trio. And he was the guy that got me over to Reading and played a role at Reading that I'm playing here at the Mariners now, where he kind of fit in between Colin and I, was probably a vibe manager before vibe management was even kind of a phrase or a word or even, you know, thought about in the world. So exactly what you've said about Mark and Colin now, I agree with you. They had their two specific roles, but Mick was he was a coach in his own right, but he was a motivator of men. He was the glue that connected a lot of the boys together. He was kind of one of the boys at times. So that was a key factor that sometimes sometimes people you know aren't aware of. So it was he was the third man in the three amigos or the trifecta, whatever you want to call it. But again, you know, it was a special dynamic of those three together. It just worked very well in empowering a team that was a little bit, you know, Dad's army-ish. It was Dad's army. It was, you know, four or five signings, and it was a whole country, a nation of press that were probably writing us off. And if you can harness negative publicity, if you can harness negative thoughts towards your club, towards your team, and somehow turn them into positives, then you you know, and make the boys believe.
And if if Reading was Dad's army at that time, what Dad's army character was Dylan Kerr?
Oh man. I'll let you guys decide on that.
Don't panic.
Don't tell him, Mike.
So we were you know, there was some, you know, from Dovcek, you know, to Jeff Hopkins, these guys were, you know, the older stalwarts, but just a lot of experience and very good footballers. And then there was a lot of younger lads coming through and mid-aged guys that still had and harbored ambitions of playing high levels of football. So just a wonderful time. You know, for me, I hope Reading can get back there. You know, it's a wonderful club. You know, there have been Australians that have gone there after me and said, you know, what an amazing place and a premiership, you know, facilities. But if you don't have premiership mindset, if you don't have premiership processes in place, if you don't have premiership foundation, if you don't have, you know, all those things in place, you have nothing. You know, we have you know, five, six, seven, you know, sets of weights and bench presses in a little alleyway. We're now building a new outdoor gym, you know, at the Central Coast at our training facility. But the boys, you know, the greatest thing that they got this year from, you know, through new ownership was a sauna and an ice bath. You know, but no one complains. You know, everybody jumps in that sauna and that ice bath. And it breeds camaraderie, it breeds spirit, it breeds fight. And, you know, that's, if you educate these young men and you show them the way and you have a particular football method or methodology that you want to put into place that you know can win games, that you know can hurt, you know, even the greatest teams in the world, with work, desire, tactical kind of nous. If you have all these processes in place, you can, you know, there's nothing that can stop you. You know, if you, along with the football side, understand that, you know, the boys that play need to be world-class athletes because to play top level football now and always, you know, the greatest players have always been the greatest athletes. And when I was around Beckham and Ronaldo Nazario and Figo and Zidane and these people at Real Madrid, you know, people may not think it or see it, but it's just ignorance. When you're close up, you realise how special these guys are as athletes in itself.
Mm. Johnny, I'm going to hand over to you for the last question.
Andy, your journey, your mental health journey, I've watched and followed. I've been through mine for different reasons, as we all do. Like, what advice would you give to anyone, especially us blokes, because we don't talk about our mental health. We do different lives, but what would you say to someone that's struggling in their journey, and how can we talk? How can we make a difference?
Look, I think I'm finding a lot of beauty now these days in as part of my role at the club, and I do it off my own back. I visit rehab, alcohol and rehabilitation centres every week here, from young kids to adults, to the Salvation Army events, people that have kind of lost hope in life, and I try and just tell them my story, and say, look, you know, look at where I am now, and you know, for 10, 15 years, I wasn't on this planet, you know. So there is, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, but you've got to make changes yourself in a way. You've got to start hanging around the right company. You know, it's no secret. If you hang around bad company, you'll end up, you know, in bad places, in bad ways, and that's what happened to me. And you know, once I started hanging around with the right people, the right path, and getting on the right path, and then anything is possible. But for me, for my peace, for my sanity, now there's a place around the corner where I live. It's called the Glen Rehab, one of the best Indigenous rehab centres in the country. And I just go in there every day and do some weights with the boys and work out. It's my piece. They look at me and they go, wow, this guy should be dead. He was a crack cocaine addict. And Andy's back, you know, mad Andy's back. And you know, that inspires people. I did a Salvation Army event before Christmas. I went out with my wife and spoke to 100 people in there that were all, you know, cocaine, meth, alcohol, you know, problems with every kind of drug. And I gave them all my book. This was before Christmas. Chatted to them for an hour. And it was one of the most inspirational days of my life. Far greater feeling that I'd touched people in a way where I'd given them hope. Greater feeling than ever playing for the Socceroos or for Reading or any club that I've ever played for. And that's not being disrespectful to the football or the clubs, but on a personal human level, it was the fact that I could, you know, they knew that it was someone telling them something that had been where they've been, where they are, and was now in a better place. It's a very special thing, you know, to do. And that's what I do a lot around here now. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, it means the world to people, Andy. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Andy, just summarize, you know, how would you summarize what your book is about? It's called Riding Shotgun. And also where can people get hold of it? Is it the usual places, Amazon, et cetera?
Well, you can buy it on Amazon, you know, to read, or I've also narrated it. So if you don't want to read like Dylan Kerr, or you can't read like Dylan Kerr, then he has no excuses now. He can listen to it. He'd probably say he'd be bored after about a chapter. But so look, it's a story of, you know, the first Australian Socceroo to play in Spain, the first Australian Socceroo to captain an English football club when I had the opportunity to wear the armband for Reading on numerous occasions. It's an immigrant story about my parents leaving Spain and going to Australia, and then me being the first guy to go back and play in the country they had to leave. It's a pioneering story. It's a story of for a young kid in Australia dreaming of playing in England one day and achieving that. It's a story of then managing, at the time, the greatest footballer on the planet, or one of them, spending time around Madrid, the greatest club of the century, falling into drug addiction, into cocaine addiction, into crack cocaine addiction, and surviving it and coming back and now trying to live other football goals, you know. There's nothing that we believe here at the Mariners we can't achieve here, and that we can't achieve on a world football level. So get ready for Riding Shotgun 2.
Oh, really?
Right. We'll look forward to that. And we'll get Dylan to listen to that one when you've done the audio book as well. So Listen, Andy, thanks ever so much for joining us. It was a great pleasure last time, and same this time. Really, really appreciate your time and the early start for you to join us from the other side of the world. So that's it for this episode. Our guest coming up for the rest of this week, tomorrow, it's Reading women's defender Lily Woodham. Friday, former Reading defender Linvoy Primus. And then Saturday, former Reading midfielder John Halls. And all of those episodes are available anytime from 6 o'clock. And then as soon as we hear about the new manager, we'll bring you an episode with our reaction to that. But just to finish off with, just a massive thank you again to Andy Bernal. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. You can have me on whenever you want. Hopefully we see Reading back up in the higher leagues. But for now, we stick by them. You got to support them, and you've got to have faith. I'm just extremely happy that you guys still remember me and invite me onto the show. It really makes my day, kind of reliving some old memories and catching up with you guys. So thank you very much.
No, and best luck get the grand final.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. We'll certainly try our best.
Bernal versus Lafondra in the final. We'll look forward to that one.
I saw Central Coast, I think about 2008, Central Coast v Sydney FC at the Sydney Stadium, the grand final there. I think Sydney won 1-0. That was a long time ago in my memory.
I think so.
Yeah.
Tell Adam it's going to be different this time.
I hope so, mate. Well, I don't hope so for Adam Lafondra, but I'm torn.
Let's see. You know what, I met him like for the first time. I didn't really even know. I don't think he even knew who I was. And I went up and just said, "Hi, Adam. I used to play for Reading too." And he kind of looked at me, and he probably still doesn't know who I am. But if I was playing, he'd know who I was. I'd love
to. Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, you go right through him. Sports Social
Podcast Network. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.